Our reading for Thursday, May 14th is in Acts chapter 20, beginning in verse 1. Acts 20, verse 1. After the uproar ceased, Paul sent for the disciples, and after encouraging them, he said farewell and departed for Macedonia. When he had gone through those regions and had given them much encouragement, he came to Greece. There he spent 3 months, and when a plot was made against him by the Jews as he was about to set sail for Syria, he decided to return through Macedonia. So Peter the Berean, son of Pyrrhus, accompanied him, and of the Thessalonians, Aristarchus and Secundus, and Gaius of Derbe, and Timothy, and the Asians, Tychicus and Trophimus. These went on ahead and were waiting for us at Troas. But we sailed away from Philippi after the days of unleavened bread, and in 5 days we came to them at Troas, where we stayed for 7 days. On the first day of the week, when we were gathered together to break bread, Paul talked with them, intending to depart on the next day, and he prolonged his speech until midnight. There were many lamps in the upper room where we were gathered, and a young man named Eutychus, sitting at the window, sank into a deep sleep as Paul talked still longer. And after being overcome by sleep, he fell down from the third story and was taken up dead. Paul went down and bent over him, and taking him in his arms, said, "Do not be alarmed, for his life is in him." And when Paul had gone up and had broken bread and eaten, he conversed with them a long while until daybreak, and so departed. And they took the youth away alive and were not a little comforted. But going ahead to the ship, we set sail for Assos, intending to take Paul aboard there, for he had so arranged, intending himself to go by land. And when he met us at Assos, we took him on board and went to Mytilene. And sailing from there, we came the following day opposite Chios. The next day we touched at Samos, and the day after that we went to Miletus. For Paul had decided to sail past Ephesus so that he might not have to spend time in Asia, for he was hastening to be at Jerusalem, if possible, on the day of Pentecost. Now from Miletus he sent to Ephesus and called the elders of the church to come to him. And when they came to him, he said to them, "You yourselves know how I lived among you the whole time from the first day that I set foot in Asia, serving the Lord with all humility and with tears and with trials that happened to me through the plots of the Jews, how I did not shrink from declaring to you anything that was profitable, and teaching you in public and from house to house, testifying both to Jews and to Greeks of repentance toward God and of faith in our Lord Jesus Christ. And now, behold, I am going to Jerusalem, constrained by the Spirit, not knowing what will happen to me there, except that the Holy Spirit testifies to me in every city that imprisonment and afflictions await me. But I do not account my life of any value, nor as precious to myself, if only I may finish my course and the ministry that I received from the Lord Jesus to testify to the gospel of the grace of God. And now, behold, I know that none of you among whom I have gone about proclaiming the kingdom will see my face again. Therefore I testify to you this day that I am innocent of the blood of all of you, for I did not shrink back from declaring to you the whole counsel of God. Pay a careful attention to yourselves and to all the flock in which the Holy Spirit has made you overseers, to care for the church of God which he obtained with his own blood. I know that after my departure fierce wolves will come in among you, not sparing the flock, and from among your own selves will arise men speaking twisted things to draw away the disciples after them. Therefore, be alert, remembering that for 3 years I did not cease night or day to admonish everyone with tears. And now I commend you to God and to the word of his grace, which is able to build you up and give you the inheritance among all those who are sanctified. I coveted no one's silver or gold or apparel. You yourselves know that these hands ministered to my necessities and to those who were with me. In all things I have shown you that by working hard in this way we must help the weak and remember the words of the Lord Jesus, how he himself said, 'It is more blessed to give than to receive.'" When he had said these things, he knelt down and prayed with them all. And there was much weeping on the part of all, and they embraced Paul and kissed him, being sorrowful most of all because of the word that he had spoken, that they would not see his face again. And they accompanied him to the ship. So we left off last reading with the riot at Ephesus and that being resolved by some wise words of one of the town officials that were there. In chapter 20, it says, after the uproar ceased, Paul then sent for the disciples encouraged them, and departed for Macedonia. And you notice that the language changes when you get down to verse 6. Luke begins to use the word we. So Luke includes himself there. He was along during this time period. But he covers quite a bit of ground very quickly here at the beginning of chapter 20, mostly because there wasn't a lot, I'm sure, to put down that was for the purpose that he was writing the book of Acts and being inspired to do so as well. But he shows, you know, the number of men that were accompanying him, that he was in Greece for about 3 months. So we get down into verse 7, and we're probably all familiar with Acts 20, verse 7, on the first day of the week when we were gathered together to break bread. One of the examples we have of the apostles and their authority and the practice of the early church being that they met on the first day of the week. And so they're going along gathering together for a very long service, if you could call it a service, of Paul talking up there. And this young man, Eutychus, falls asleep, falls out of the window, and he's dead. But the Lord does not leave him in such a state. The Lord revives him. And Paul says, "Do not be alarmed, for his life is in him." And at the very end of this little section, it says that they were not a little comforted by this, by all of these things that had happened. It means that they were very comforted, and this was very beneficial. And preachers today usually joke about preaching till midnight because of this, this particular passage. But all joking aside, Paul was taking advantage of the opportunity that he had to do as much as he could in a compressed time frame. Sometimes we might plan things like that. We might do a gospel meeting. We might do something where we have a longer service, or we have some in-depth studies. There are opportunities in which you would try to compress things in the same type of way to make the best use of the time. So they set sail and they continue on. Gives us a few more locations, says he decided to go past Ephesus, but he summons for the elders at Ephesus so that he might meet with them, and he shares with them a couple of things. First of all, that they're not going to see him again. Second of all, that he's not really sure what lies ahead, except that there is imprisonment that lies ahead. And third, he lives in all good conscience in that he has not held anything back from them. He has given them the whole counsel of God, which all preachers should be doing. We should not withhold anything from the scriptures, because they are all for our learning and they are all for our benefit, that we might be trained in righteousness. And then the last thing that he shares with them is that there is danger among them. I want us to spend a minute on that, because if there's anything that we understand about the church, it's that we're a family, and that we're a family in Christ. And because we are a family in Christ, we don't really have we don't really look for warning signs. We don't look for warnings amongst our brethren. You know, when we see them, we're joyful. When we see them, we express love toward one another. We have that concern for one another. But he says that even among you, there is the possibility of fierce wolves. Verse 29, "I know that after my departure, fierce wolves will come in among you, not sparing the flock." That's one. Number two, "from among yourselves." So you have to worry about external threat as well as internal threat. Whenever you wonder what elders and preachers do when they're meeting together and they're talking about the membership and they're thinking about it, we're looking for the spiritual condition, and we're guarding the flock. And that's what he is warning the elders here about, so that they can do that very thing. As the shepherds, it was their job to guard the flock against the wolves, whether the wolves might already be among them or whether the wolves come from somewhere else. It's a very important work for them to be engaged in. But it's not an easy work. It's not an easy work to look after the flock and realize that there might be some dangers even within the flock. He also points out that he wasn't preaching out of a desire for anybody's silver or gold or any other gain that he might have. In fact, he says, you know that these hands ministered to my necessities. In other words, he worked for his own living when he needed to. Verse 34, so he was willing to do double duty and be a tent maker and do those things while he's preaching the gospel. And in verse 35, he says, in all these things I have shown you that by working hard in this way we must help the weak and remember the words of the Lord Jesus, how he himself said, it is more blessed to give than to receive. So Paul is basically saying, I didn't do it for selfish motives. I didn't do it to get your stuff. I didn't do it for earthly gain. I did it because this is what I have to do. This is what his faith made him do. And it's what the Lord assigned him to do. But this is a tearful occasion for everybody involved, for him to say, you're not going to see me again. He mentions 3 years. 3 years, you develop some very close personal ties. And it's not easy to leave, to move on. And Paul was doing that all the time. Imagine all the people he had those close ties with all over the areas that he'd been to. Maybe he didn't spend 3 years at all of them, but he developed those ties. He cared about them. He loved them dearly. And so I think this gives us a good glimpse of how close his relationships really got. Verse 36, after he said these things, he prayed with them. There was much weeping. They embraced him. They kissed him, being sorrowful that they would not see him again. And they accompanied him to the ship to see him off. This is a very important chapter. It gives us a few insights into Paul's relationships, and it gives us some insights into the lengths he was willing to go in order to serve the Lord. But it also gives us the other side of it. You know, a lot of times when we talk about Paul, we look at, you know, one of his letters, one of his epistles that he wrote, and we sit there and we say, well, this church was dealing with this problem or that problem. These were things they could be commended for. These are the things that they needed to fix. And we sort of analyze those letters in that way. And I think that chapter 20 gives us the good insight into, well, why would they listen? Now, why would they look for his letters? How would they receive his letters? I think this proves to us that they would eagerly await those letters simply because they cared so much about Paul and they cared about his preaching and what he had to say, and they knew that he cared. It's very important that people know that we care when we try to teach them. We're not teaching them to be right. We're teaching them to save their soul. We're simply conveying the message of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. He came to seek and save the lost, and we need to do the same thing. Thank you for your attention today. Please come back tomorrow. We'll pick up in chapter 21. Please continue in prayer that God may be with us all.